Hello, patrons. It's James. You know that. I hope you're well. Welcome to Ask James, my regular YouTube live stream. We are welcome questions today from the patron community on anything they bloody want to cover, basically.
The Fantasy Football Show.
At the timestamp, this is 12:08 p.m. on Thursday, May the 9th. I've got no set time limit for how long this is going to last. I mean, if it's still going on in 2 hours, that's a bit of a problem. But I am happy to answer all the questions that come in. Thank you very much to those who have submitted questions and for those that are viewing live. Right, let's get straight into the queues. I've got nothing particularly I want to cover. I think, unfortunately, if you're watching live, you might have me a little bit laggy by the looks of things, because Serge, although he reassures me constantly that everything will be absolutely fine in this office, quite often, unfortunately, it seems not to be. But I think you're probably, hopefully, going to be hearing me okay. If you're not, please let me know in the chat. I would hugely appreciate it, but I will continue for the moment. Thomas McCloyd says, afternoon, James. If Bruno's out, I'll probably bring in Salah or Havertz this week, as I was planning on bringing in both for 38 anyway. Which of them do you prefer for game week 37? Quite a straightforward one, in my opinion. Manchester United tells us the answer to that, mate. It's Kai Havertz is bound to have chances, I think, on Sunday, isn't he? I think both have similar fixtures for 38, but Arsenal's is, quite frankly, is much better, 37 for the offensive players. So it'd be quite straightforward for me. Havertz, and also gives you a little bit more options in terms of money for 38 if you want to. Oh, that suddenly can do that instead, whereas Salah will probably pin you down to certain things. So Kai Havertz for me. Maestro 18 says, hi James, hope all is well, mate. I'm at 2k overall and want to push on for top 1k. I can either do Son and Muniz to Richarlison and Wilson, or the safer Gusto and Muniz to Livramento and Jackson. No bench boost. What do you think? I think fine. Thank you, Matthew Thompson, appreciate it. I think fine if you're doing for free transfers, but preferences with the second one. I'm not sure that Richarlison and Wilson route is better personally. Gusto, you're getting really conflicting, I think, opinions from Chelsea fans at the moment in terms of how many minutes he'll get. I think you can move that on. Livramento has an element of risk, as I very much recommend listening to today's Clash of Correspondence with Gary and Sy. But again, I've seen some conflicting opinions against what Sy said as well. No one factually knows for sure, right? Jackson, I think, is part of the best front three this week. And he's also, yes, it's template, but it's going to protect you at where you're at as well. I don't think any of the differential forwards are actually better than him, actually. He's actually got one of the highest XGs in the league. I think he's fourth for forwards for XG this season. I think it's Haaland, Isak, and I think it's maybe Dominic Solanke. I've actually got that going around as a stat on the graphics as well. I think he's fourth. So, yeah, I mean, just because it's Jackson, I much prefer that route. There's nothing to say Richarlison's going to outscore Son, mate. So, yeah, I prefer Jackson route. He also says, I know it's play it your way, just really nice to get your footballing opinion. Cheers. You're very welcome, mate. Not a problem at all. Happy to share said opinion. But of course, yes, play it your way. Billy Taylor says, hey, Jimbo, apologies for the admin-related question, but how do I get a link to join the Slack channel on Patreon? Do us a favor, Billy, just because I'm in the middle, I'm going to forget to do this. Just drop me a DM now on Patreon and I'll get to it pretty quickly after the stream, mate, and get you a new link sent to you, pal. But he says also, which of these transfers would be more of a priority? No bench boost and chasing. Which of these be more of a priority? No bench boost and chasing. Garnacho to Mudueki and possible captain, Lima, or Gabriel to Cucurella, or Flecken to Petrovic. No other fires. I think it's the Mudueki move. Yeah, I really like it. As I've said a number of times already this week, I think the template can't get to Madueke. And for those who can, really should consider that. You're obviously wanting to add a third Chelsea player there. I think the one with the power there is Madueke, personally. So, yeah, I prefer that move. There's nothing wrong with Garnacho this week. But again, I recommend listening to Clash of Correspondence. It is moving a doubler for a doubler, but that one on what you specifically said in terms of chasing, I think I prefer. Most people will have Chelsea defensive this week. I'm going to guess you're taking that on and prepared to do so. James Morrison says, hi, James. I have two rough plans for what's left. Get Porro this week and get Saka in 38, or roll this week and get Salah in 38 using the other transfer to fund it, leading towards the first one. Yeah, I think the clincher here probably as well is having Pedro for game week 38. So if you just look at it on the face of it, despite Tottenham's woes, if you will, defensively, ignore the Man City game. It is the bottom two in the next two games, and there's certainly an upside in Pedro. So I think based on that and the fixture in 38 as well, then I prefer to go the Porro route. And also, there's 2 weeks to go. I don't think too much about 38. Come back. You might decide you're in a position where for 38, you go, sod it. I'm going to take a -4 for Mo and get him in and captain him. So I would deal with what's in the immediate, James. And I think, yeah, that's go and get Pedro Porro now. And there's nothing wrong with preferring Saka as it stands to Salah in 38 as well. Tom Hyom says, hi, James. If you need -4 to get more than four fixtures on your bench boost for game 37, is bench boost 38 a genuine consideration? Bench boost 37, no hits, is Ederson and two times Arsenal defenders versus Petrovic against Bournemouth, Gordon against Brentford, Saliba against Everton, Van de Ven against Sheffield United. So the key here, Tom, I think he's not just analysing the bench, because I think I could analyse the bench. Bloody hell, you're benching Saliba. Like, how strong is your defence for 38? Not sure that that's right, unless you've got quadruple Arsenal defensive somehow. But it's not just looking at that, is it? It's the importance of the other 11. And I think anybody considering bench boosting in 38, and there's a growing crowd of this because of not being able to get what they want in 37, needs to have a real, real hard look at the whole 15 and ask themselves, well, what happens if the relegation battle is decided this week? Well, what happens if the top four in the European places is decided this week? What happens if the title was decided this week? What if we get the game week 38 and no one's got nothing of serious relevance to play for? Is that a possibility? Yes, it is. It probably won't be, but it's a possibility. And you need to second guess everything in there. So an example would be, you've got David Raya. I said, if the title is over, i.e. if Arsenal already won it or they've already lost it, could Aaron Ramsdale play that final day? And you need to second guess every possible example of that for all 15 in your team for game week 38. And personally, unless you can be sort of plus 95% on your 15, then it's bench boost 37 regardless for me. There's nothing wrong with a double Arsenal defensive at Manchester United this week. It will either do well or it won't. Ederson with the double is obviously perfectly reasonable. We'd have to assume at this stage that he gets it. I understand what you're saying. You're basically four fixtures this week versus four fixtures 38. Yeah, but the four fixtures this week are kind of guaranteed, aren't they? The four fixtures in 38 are not. So I much prefer, Tom, in nearly every scenario, bench boosting in this week rather than 38, because the landscape for 38 could suddenly be, oh my God, shit. And I think at least with this week, you know what you're getting. Your 11 will play unless there's a freak occurrence, and therefore your bench will play unless there's a freak occurrence. 38 just doesn't look that way. I would not take a -4 for almost any defender, Tom, unless it was a Manchester City defensive this week. But I think 37 is the right solution. I think the problem you can have here, Tom, as well, is you could look at it from, and I know the way you'll look at things, you'll probably look at it from an expected points perspective, and it might even be that 38 lands better. I just think the landscape could change, and that's a sickener if that happens. David Hunter's in, says, let's assume Luton, Burnley and Sheffield United are the three who go down. Which of their players are Premier League quality, and would any of them improve Tottenham? Wow, I can't see that Tottenham would be interested in any player from any of those three clubs, unless it was something that has still a ceiling of potential, like a Luka Kolosho or a Wilson Odegaard as a potential investment offensively as part of a squad rather than a team. Could someone like Vitinho maybe come into consideration because of that as well? Maybe I don't see Tottenham looking at those three players. Does a Ross Barkley in a short-term period help from a creativity perspective and perhaps even in terms of Tottenham playing out from the back? Yeah, I don't mind that, but it's short-termism. It's not a long-term pick. I'd rather Tottenham didn't waste their time with that sort of thing personally. Could Adebayo, someone asked me about Adebayo and Tottenham the other day because part of the squad. Sure. In terms of is there Premier League quality? Yeah, and there's a few there with ceilings. I think particularly within the Burnley squad, I think of people like Ted and Mengi at Luton, but also realise people like Lokonga is almost definitely obviously going to go back to his parent club should they go down. There isn't a huge amount. The reality is, unfortunately, David, if it wasn't for the points deductions, this would be all over and done with. Forest, in spite of the points deduction, are extremely lucky with their points total of the three teams behind them. And in most Premier League seasons, this would have been done and dusted weeks ago for all three teams, never mind just Sheffield United, Burnley, for Luton as well. What can Luton get 2 points wise? Is it 32 or something? It's pitiful, isn't it? It might be a couple more than that, but it's pretty pitiful. And frankly, I don't think they're going to get there. So no, there's not a huge amount within those three teams. I don't think, David. I do think Sheffield United might have it really tough next year. I think from Luton and Burnley's perspective, Burnley's squad, as I've said several times, is really young, and I think they'll do really well next year, actually. Luton's hard to gauge. Hard to gauge, I think, and I do think there'll be strong interest in Rob Edwards as well when something comes up. I don't know who this question's from. There's no name, unfortunately, on the chat, but I'll read the question. It says Pickford or Vicario to pair with Petrovic on bench boost. Has anyone ever scored two hat tricks in a double game week? Because João Pedro is about to. I presume that's who the JP is anyway. Pickford or Vicario. The preference is Vicario. One, it's a double, and there's enough randomness in goalkeeper returns that I would always prefer that specifically for goalkeepers. I think if you ask me a Braithwaite versus Romero, I think that's much closer. I also think, going back to what I said earlier about considering the outside the box stuff in 38, right? Could Sanchez play against Bournemouth in game week 38 rather than Petrovic? Last game of the season, if Chelsea have sealed European qualification, for example, sure. Then do you want Pickford at Arsenal or do you want Vicario at Sheffield United? I think it's little things like that once you dig a little deeper. Yeah, that's a Vicario for me, mate. Dermot Whelan says, "Hi, James. I'm on bench boost. I'm going to do Salah, Kelleher, and Shea to Foden or KDB, Vicario, and Burn or Trippier for a minus four. Is Solanke to Højlund or João Pedro worth the additional transfer to make it a minus eight? Thanks." Solanke at home to Brentford versus two fixtures of Højlund or João Pedro with no guarantee that João Pedro gets two games. And the first one is the tougher one, Newcastle away. Not that I'm saying Chelsea at home's easy, just it is at home. Could João Pedro start against Newcastle and not start against Chelsea? Yeah, he can't rule that out. Højlund, Gary summed it up really well. And it's true when you think about it. Like Bruno Fernandes, most chances created in the league. But who's he creating them for? Because it never feels like it's for Højlund. And that's partly on him. I don't think so, mate. I don't think so. For free, yeah. For either of them to outscore Solanke, by enough to make it justifiable. Nah, not massive on that. And I think you might be looking at moving either of them on in 38 as well. So I think no, on moving Solanke on for the minus four. Milan Rizzari says, hi, James. Have only three hit left. Should I use it this game week or save it for the last day and some punts? This week I can get to all seven double game week attackers that I would want, plus defenders of two Arsenal and Braithwaite. Okay. I mean, that sounds like on the face of it, 38 will be better for you by the sounds of it. Look, there's a very, very simple thing to do here. Truthfully, if is I don't know if you use expected models, but have a look at what you'd free hit 37 versus what you can have and what the expected difference is, and look at what you will have in 38 or think you'll have with one additional transfer, and look at what your free hit would be expected to score and compare. That's probably what I'd do. I think based on what you've said, I wouldn't do that actually. I would just know which way I was going to go. I wouldn't be using models, but I actually think probably using a tool like that is probably useful, and use more than one, you know, so use review and FPL team, for example, like use more than one. But based on what you said, Milana, I think it sounds like free hit 38 is probably better for you. I don't love it personally. I know this, like, well, we'll all get team news and we'll know what to buy and all that. And I don't know. I'm not massive on it. I think even free hitting in 38, subject to the results over the next 6 days or so, might be quite difficult to get starting 11 on free hit. But, you know, you can also react to problems that you might hear about. So 38 was probably better for you. David Hunter says, Trent, Mo, Van Dijk, all out of contract next summer. You're the sporting director. Plan for each, sell, renew, let it run out. That's difficult and interesting. I'm going to use here what I said a lot about Harry Kane last summer. Now, Mo Salah particularly, although he's not been in brilliant form the last couple of months, you know, I saw him live Sunday. I don't think there's any looking at him and thinking he's as old as he is, right? You could certainly pass him off for like a 25-year-old. Keeps himself in incredible condition, very rarely gets injured. Van Dijk is obviously a leader and a big experience head that a lot of, you know, people like Quansah around him will certainly lean on. And that's a very, very difficult trait to reproduce or replace, rather. But I also reflect on what I said to you all last year about Harry Kane a lot. Was, don't leave yourself in a position where Ange is walking in the door and, yeah, he's got Harry Kane for 12 months and then has to start all over again. Tottenham may not have been better off this year by not having Harry Kane. I think that's probably clear. But Tottenham, in terms of the path they're on, are going to be 1 year ahead of where they'd have been if they were going to lose Harry Kane on a free transfer this forthcoming summer. And with a new man in the door, David, it should be considered. Like, if they're happy to sign on, I think particularly with Mo, then you sign them on. In Trent's case, I think you should push the boat out to make sure he stays. Very much homegrown, local lad. I presume Liverpool is his team. That needs sorting out. And if it's not, then he has to be sold, really. Because the value on a prospect like that, and he's still a prospect in the sense we could all see him still improving, right? You know, once he learns things experience-wise in terms of positioning and stuff like that and improves on it, there's a huge ceiling for him still to get better. So if he's not going to sign, that's way too much value in that player to potentially lose on a free transfer. Way too much. So in the majority of the cases here, it's probably sell. That said, I don't know how much you get for Van Dijk. You'd still probably get a very good fee for Mo. You should still get a super fee for Trent. So it depends on what they're happy to do. And the ideal scenario here is probably re-sign them all. But what does the new manager think? Because if the new manager's of the opinion and thinks, I'm better off letting these guys go, there's less pressure on him. I'm thinking particularly Salah and Van Dijk here. there's less pressure on him because you've lost two big players, and you accept it's kind of not at the floor of Tottenham stage, but understand it's the start of a new process, and you know, really kind of low expectations for next season, particularly, and then kick on. There would be a case to sell. When you look on the face of it, and those three players, you go, just keep, don't you? But the bigger picture might be that in one or two of those cases, selling might be the right thing to do. Milan Rizavi says, another question, are Salah and Elise worth hitting out for double game week mids? With Mo particularly, if you've got, presumably you want that in 38, so that's probably a no, and you know his capability despite the difficult fixture this week. Elise is an easier one, isn't it? I think. But it also depends to what, and I'm trying to think here. Would I go -4 Elise to Madueke? That's borderline. Free transfer, no question. Richarlison feels like a similar answer. I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of these ones, whereas I'm going to guess with Palmer, Son, Gordon, you're probably already on that. I think a Manchester City player, if it's for a City player, Foden or KDB, yeah, I'd probably be very willing to do that and take the upside. So it does depend what you're selling to as well. Matthew Thompson says, Neil here. I don't know, I should have known it was you. Says, being realistic, how much do you think a Premier League club will play for Schmodix? 30 in September after 33 goals in 48 matches this season, bearing in mind his best previous was 16 in 46. I have, Neil, seen 20 to 25 million mentioned, but I'm not sure that's realistic in a PSR era, mate. Where chances are the resale value is not there. So it probably is more one that a club coming up would maybe be happier to take a chance on, like a Leicester, for example. That's possibly a bad example. But I think of, you know, your Palaces, your Brentfords, Brightons. So I see them paying for a player at that stage of his career. I'm not sure, mate. I'm not sure. And as good as I know he's been, I've owned him a lot in Gaffer this year. Does he even walk into these teams? I don't know. I don't think most people go for that, mate. I don't think. But I think it could well be one that specifically interests promoted clubs. David Hunter says, last one from me. If Ten Hag is vague about Bruno Fernandes tomorrow, is he a sell on bench boost? Was very impressed with Richarlison when he came on last Sunday and has that sweet, sweet 38 fixture too. Cheers, mate. I mean, look, if it's vague and you can move him on for a free transfer the way that United have been playing, I think you just do. That said, if there's clarity that he's available, I certainly wouldn't be stressing to move him, and I'll just stick with it as well. So I think, yes, if there's no clarity and you can go for someone like Richarlison, then yeah. Do it. There'd certainly be a case that Richarlison was maybe a better asset than Bruno Fernandes for this week now anyway. Plus what you said, the 38 fixture, I think tips it in the balance, David, say yes. But if Ten Hag says that he's fit, it's available, I wouldn't make the move. Neil says, do you think Sheffield United would try and sign Bren Brereton-Diaz for next season? He finished with 6 in 12 for a team getting relegated, yet didn't score in 20 games for Villarreal. I think the problem, Neil, on that would be, can they afford to? I think they'd probably like to. He may himself look at it as go, well, I've shown I can score goals in the Premier League. I hope someone else will come in. I would suspect, Neil, that Sheffield United probably can't do the money to do the deal. Because he obviously went to Villarreal, but it was on a free, wasn't it, I think. You know, Villarreal are going to want a return. Probably not a big return, but I don't think Sheffield United can be going and buying a player for 10 million or so next year. I don't think they'll be able to, if that's the sort of fee that it maybe would be. So I don't think he'll end up there. It's part of the reason I suspect Sheffield United are going to have it pretty difficult next year. Neil says, who do you think win the championship playoffs and get promoted? I have an inkling for West Brom. I think they kind of stumbled to the playoffs in the end, but I think they probably stumbled to it. It was a few things happened, wasn't there? There was a game where they had a player sent off and stuff. I think they stumbled towards it because it was, you know, when I spoke to Gemma and Harrison a few weeks ago, it was pretty clear they'd make it. And have probably been under par, just getting ready for this, I think. And I think it may be them. Leeds obviously have some super attacking players. Norwich have got an incredible home record of over the last sort of the calendar year. And Southampton are very, very capable, although whenever I've watched them, have just looked like a fucking clusterfuck defensively. I have an inkling it might be West Brom, actually. That's my inkling. Ethan says, should two-legged ties be refereed by the same officials in each game? Would it make things more even between home and away games, i.e. some refs may be more susceptible to crowd pressure? No, I don't think so. So let's use the example of what happened last night, and I realise it's the second leg. And by the way, the goal probably wouldn't have happened anyway, even if the linesman kept his flag down, because it's pretty clear that a few Real Madrid players, including the goalkeeper, did stop. So you can't say, biggest robbery ever. It's a bad mistake from the linesman, but there's nothing to say that it would have been a goal. But if that was the first leg and then the same referee does the second leg, you'd maybe make a case that referee is going to be thinking, oh, that at the end of the game there. And maybe it is. And I really think, yeah, you're better off having different officials across two-legged ties rather than the same referee. For that reason as well, I think you probably shouldn't have, and I don't know if it happens or not, I've never really noticed, you shouldn't have a Premier League referee doing the same fixture home and away either, I don't think. Rhett says, thinking of free transfers for -8, and then they're not listed. So, okay, I can't say them. All I'd say is, Rhett, what I'd said earlier, I would not be taking any -4s, I don't think, for defenders this week. Unless Manchester City would be the priority. However, I certainly understand the scenario at the same time that if you are, for example, a Maguire and share owner and want to buy, I don't know, hypothetically, Duncan Byrne, for example, then the -4 should pay in the appearance points, and that therefore that is worth doing. But just on a singular, you know, if it's just Maguire's injured, I need to take a -4 for Johnny Evans, Igor Julio, whatever, because you can't afford much, Tino Livramento, I probably don't do that. If you've got two injured, fully understandable. I also understand you're not going to want a bench boost with a completely injured player, but then maybe I would just focus on that in a free transfer, and rather than forcing in others, accept what I've got. I just wouldn't want to be taking -4s on many, if any, defenders this week. You will, spoiler for the differential show tomorrow, you will hear that there is only one team predicted to keep a clean sheet in this game week, and that is Arsenal. Christopher Tellez says, hi, James. Curious to know your thoughts on the Player of the Year and Young Player of the Year nominations. What sort of changes, if any, would you make to the Young Player of the Year nomination criteria? Yeah, there has to be a change to that. I mean, I'm looking at this and seeing that I haven't got the list in front of me, but I think one of the players is 24. I mean, which bit of this is Young Player of the Year? Come on, man. So that's got to go into some form of package of 21 at the start of the season or under. It's got to be. Who's still doing this off of like 23-year-olds and stuff? That doesn't make any sense. So that needs changing. That's pretty shit. You will probably all know my opinion already that Cole Palmer should win both awards this year. For me, he's Player of the Year. I certainly understand, you know, if it's a Rice or it's an Odegaard, it's a Rodri or a Foden, they're all viable winners. I wouldn't have a problem with any of them players winning it. And you make a case because they're high up the league. I just think it's player of the year, individual player, not team, individual player. That player, I know they've done well the last couple of games, that player has carried that football team for the majority of the season. It's a wonder he hasn't got a back injury, actually. So Cole Palmer would be my choice, and he would obviously be, I'm pretty sure he'd be eligible for the Young Player Award as well. Only Dozy, although I'd like to see a different Young Player of the Year to the Player of the Year, just generally as well. Only Dozy says, Trippier, is he an option? Well, you know as well as me, mate, because it's your team. The reality is, if he starts on Saturday, yes. I think it's a no, personally. I think it's a no. It feels like one that's part of minus four as well. I don't think Newcastle keep a clean sheet in the game week. I think if they did, that's probably, despite Manchester United's woes, more likely to be on Saturday. I don't think he starts Saturday. I think he's sub Saturday. I think he starts Wednesday. That's my instinct. Perag says, Trips versus Hall versus Burn for VDH van der Heck. Burn for me, and you'll hear similar on Clash of Correspondence. We talk about it a lot. You know, we compare all of them, and Livramento in that conversation as well. Sai is pretty clear on Dan Burn, and I agree with him. Oni says, non-FPL question regarding summer transfers. Solanke to Spurs and Ketcher to Brighton, West Ham, Tony to Chelsea, thoughts? Could potentially see all those sort of transfers happening, actually. As I've said, Tottenham are not really being linked with hardly anybody that's Premier League based. And if they are, it's for clubs that we suspect may have to sell for PSR reasons. So things like... Jacob Ramsey, Morgan Gibbs-White, Amadou Onana, Conor Gallagher have been the names that have been floating about Tottenham circles, because all those clubs may potentially have to sell before sort of June deadline, and Tottenham can attack it during that period, whereas there's others will have to maybe even wait till July before they start buying. Tottenham think they've got an advantage there potentially to do some early business domestically. Dominic Solanke does not fall into a line where Bournemouth need to sell. I do think Dominic Solanke would be of the Premier League forwards who would be a realistic get, would be the most suitable option for Tottenham currently. That's the conclusion I've come to. But I think it will cost quite a bit of money, and I don't think Bournemouth have any necessity to sell unless the player really puts his foot down, and I'm not sure that he will, actually. He doesn't strike me as the type to particularly force that, actually. So I think Tottenham might look overseas for attacking, because it will be cheaper and they'll look at what they can develop, I think, is probably a more likely option. Tony to Chelsea, I can see. I could also see Tony back to Newcastle if there was some movement on Isak, although, again, on COTC, that's covered, and Sai doesn't think that will happen. And Ketcher leaving Arsenal feels like, for him and his career, he needs to do that now, so I could see that. Darren Malloy said, Rodri not nominated for Player of the Year. Was he not? I mean, that's, yeah. Nothing to add. He was one of the players that I suggested that, you know, if he wins it, fine. VVD there over Saliba and Gabriel, they're having a laugh. Yeah, the only thing you would say on that is, like, realistically, if you ask any Arsenal player who their player of the year is, they're not going to tell you Gabriel or Saliba. So therefore, should they be running for the player of the year? There's probably a number of Liverpool fans who, I mean, you'd know better than me, Darren, but it's probably some Liverpool fans who would maybe think Van Dijk was Liverpool's player of the year. Tom Hyom says, cheers, James. Hadn't considered the changing of Premier League landscape element by game week 38. And you're right, I don't have quadruple Arsenal defence. It was meant to be Burn at Brentford, final bench defender for game week 38. He's also said, like and sub, people. Oh, this is patron only, not needed. No, you don't need to like and sub. It's actually completely pointless. I mean, but if you're not subbed to this channel already, that's a little confusing. Maybe. You can sub. You don't need to like the video. It will make absolutely no difference. And for those watching on the stream, believe it or not, you might notice from where the position of the clock is, I massively moved this table so it wasn't in the sunlight, and now it's in the sunlight. Of course it is. Yeah, I think 37 to just cover off again, Tom, is the right answer for you, mate. Milan says, there are some talks that if Slot comes in, he could change Mo's position to a central role. Do you think he could play this role? He plays this role for Egypt sometimes, but the football is very different. Of course he can. Of course he could. We've seen Mo Salah play up front plenty of times. Could he play it? Of course he can. There's no doubt about that. Might even prolong his career a little bit even as well. Rhett says, sorry for the poor messaging earlier, thinking of minus four this week. Keller to Vicario. Yeah, I can't argue that. It's fine. And Darwin to another forward. Need a recommendation. 11.4 in the bank. Already free. City, Chelsea, Spurs. Well, if you don't have Alexander Isak, that's fairly straightforward. Callum Wilson, I think, is your solution if confirmed fit. But wait, please. There is some speculation going around that he might not be. Although I also believe that having since recorded COTC, this has been proven to probably be incorrect information and he's probably okay. But do wait on some info. Callum Wilson or João Pedro, realistically, are your only solutions there. I would not be buying Rasmus Højlund. There isn't an Arsenal forward to consider this week. It's, if you were going there, it's midfielders. Wouldn't be looking in at Cody Gakpo for a hit this week. So it's Wilson or João Pedro are your only options based on what you're telling me, unless you haven't got Isak, in which case, please get Isak. Joe Finney Badder says, hi, James, on bench. Can we just say, I think Joe is fifth in Sky. Fucking hell, mate. Well done. Joe says, hi, James, on bench boost, would you move Gusto out to a dunk slash burn to open up a Chelsea spot for Madueke in for Garnacho or Jackson in for Pedro? If not, I'd be looking at Garnacho to Richarlison. Chelsea are always very honest on their team news, so wait for that. That's important because it might be that Friday afternoon we go, oh, okay, I think Gusto's going back in that team. Again, I think you'll get real split and different opinions here on what his expected minutes in the double will be. And it's a minus four to move it. I don't think I'd bother, mate. I don't think I'd bother, but I understand what you're saying about getting a different Chelsea player. But I think, you know, if you can just, I mean, you don't even have to move Garnacho to Richarlison either. Garnacho to Richarlison, I completely understand. But even if you just kept Garnacho, I suppose once you move Gusto, you're going to want another Chelsea. I understand that. Okay, I understand that. Wait on the Chelsea news, Joe, but my instinct is leave it be, is my instinct. Okay, kids, I think that's the questions answered. Thank you very much to everybody who contributed in the chat and also contributed live. It is very much appreciated. As Tom said, smash a like, hit the sub button. No, you do not need to do that. So you'll be with me for the differential show tomorrow. Please, please do catch up and clash your correspondence today. It's a good hour and a bit listen, but I think you'll find it very worthwhile, particularly in relation to Newcastle assets for this double. All right, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much, guys. And for the benefit of those on the audio, cue music, please. Manchild.
Fantasy Football Show.